The Tom Woods Show, episode 683.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hi, everybody. Tom Woods here. By popular demand, Eric July is our guest today. He is an American rapper and an anarcho-capitalist. That is an unusual combination, really, in any genre of music. He currently leads the hip-hop slash metal band Backwords. That's B-A-C-K-W-O-R-D-Z. He's a contributor to Liberty Hangout, Being Libertarian, and The Libertarian Republic. He's got a very interesting personal story, and he knows Rothbardian libertarianism backwards and forwards. So we're going to talk to him about that. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, brother.
You know, of course I want to talk about your music, but before we do that, I want to talk about your ideas. You and I hold a set of ideas that are not as popular as you and I think they ought to be. So I'm curious to know, if you had to describe who you are in terms of political ideas, what would you say?
Well, I would most definitely say I'm an ANCAP, if anything, some sort of voluntarist. When I say that, I mean that in terms of the end game, I would love for it to be a free society in which all human affairs are voluntary and consensual. Now, I know for a lot of people, when I say that I'm an ANCAP, they automatically, I don't know when this happened, but people kind of assume that you're an agorist and you adopt agorism if you are an ANCAP. And I don't necessarily adopt that. But again, I do believe that no government, no state should exist. It's just really extending whatever, you know, I have a problem with the state. For the same reason I have a problem with anybody using force on peaceful people. So I just extend that to its logical conclusion.
A lot of times when I have people on, they give me an answer like that. My next question, like I had Karen Katowski on, and she was like a Pentagon whistleblower, and she basically converted to exactly the set of ideas you just described. So I want to know, how does somebody sitting there in the Pentagon come to that kind of view? It's not the usual course.
Right, right.
So in your case, too, I want to know, what were you exposed to that made you say, yep, this is the way to go?
Well, I grew up a hardcore leftist. Growing up, same old story with a lot of African Americans. It's kind of beating our head. Republicans are racist. Democrats want to help you, even though they want to expand the state. And it wasn't until I got to college when I even knew what libertarianism was. And I got here by guys like Thomas Sowell and Walter Williams. And it's funny because those guys aren't necessarily ANCAP. Walter Williams is a libertarian, but he's not, you know, necessarily an ANCAP. But those guys are reading things like basic economics and seeing what these guys have been saying for 30 years. And really, again, going back to the point, just extending it to its logical conclusion. Was how I got to where I'm at. So it was before I picked up any kind of, you know, Rothbard book or anything like that, when I had actually considered myself an actual ANCAP. So it was just, you know, I saw a lot of problems with the world. And when economics was the main thing that I learned about, that was the turning point. And I'm looking at it and I'm reading books like Basic Economics. I'm like, dang, every time everything government seems to touch, you know, it turns to crap. So, you know, why does it need to exist? And just learning more about it, and it got me to exactly where I'm at right now.
Well, it sounds like you had enough curiosity even to bother listening in the first place. The real problem is that people don't read Sowell and Williams to begin with, so they never actually start down that path. How do you account for why you were willing to say, yeah, I'll sit down? Most people don't say, I think I'd like to sit down with a book called Basic Economics. They just don't.
Right. Well, I mean, with me, it did take, you know, again, going to college and seeing different like cultures, because again, I was kind of around the inner city of Dallas, and I went to University of Memphis right out of college. And, you know, early on, I was doing a lot of, you know, as youngsters still campaigning for Democrats and whatnot. But again, just taking a class and really seeing different cultures just kind of made me want to learn more about it, you know, just learn more about things in general. And even when, thankfully, I was still stuck in my box. I don't tell a lot of people this, but I was stuck in a box still, you know, even when I first learned what economics was, learned about different schools, Chicago, Austrian, you know, and learned about Keynesianism and whatnot. But it wasn't until like, you know, I was still in that box, still in that box. And I was like, I want to know about the black economists. You know, I was still in that box. I just wanted to learn about the black economists. And thankfully that I came across guys like Sewell and Walter Williams first, because really, I mean, you look at that type of representation, really a lot of African-Americans, it's not that many that consider themselves economics. But the fun thing about those guys, Sewell more in particular, is that he breaks it down for the common man to understand in books like Basic Economics. There's no jargon, no graphs. And it was easy for somebody like myself, coming from the cultural background that I came from, for me to just understanding. And, you know, again, it was just one book led to another. And then, you know, I got to where I'm at.
Well, tell me about your background. Where you're from and where'd you grow up, stuff like that?
Well, grew up in Dallas, Texas. Again, inner city, you know, around the Oak Cliff area. I was there kind of bouncing around between there, you know, just southern area of Dallas, Duncanville area as well. And so I got involved early on in like gangs and stuff like that, banging and whatnot. And it's same old story. I mean, typical story. Father was around. He bounced, so I was raised, you know, again, typical story, single parent household. Mother did everything she could, working 2-3 jobs at a time. But again, it was just only so much, you know, she could do just as a parent. And I did, unfortunately, get involved in some, you know, some things that I should not get involved in. But it's such a familiar story. I see people going down the same path. And again, even though she did everything she could, it was just only so much. And I got involved in gangs and we're beefing on people for next to nothing. But my ticket out was I was a great athlete and I was a track and field athlete. And, you know, I started getting scholarships in my senior year and I was like, all right, I'm going to get all the way out. And honestly, it took somebody that I was close to. You know, I had lost friends along the way getting shot due to gang violence, but I put somebody else in danger myself. By just simply being around and guys were looking to attack me and I put somebody else in danger. And that was the eye opener, for me. And, again, once I got that, I saw scholarship offers. I had them in Texas, but I was like, my first year, I want to get all the way out. And, you know, thank the Lord, that I did. And it led me. I saw the cultures out in Memphis that I wouldn't have saw out here. And it was just a wonderful experience, you know, being an athlete and also learning about other things, because again, it was certainly that first year of college was just a life changer for me.
Let me tell you something about a couple of guests I've had on, or in particular recently, as it turns out, it was episode 666. I had a guy named TK Coleman on. We had a great conversation about entrepreneurship and, you know, making your own way and so on. And now, he's a black guy, and I didn't mention that on the show. I didn't, because I thought I bet you every time this guy comes on a show, the whole show is, oh, you're a black libertarian. And I thought, you know, I have a funny feeling he has other things to talk about. So I didn't even mention, people didn't even know his race. But yet, and I said that to Walter Williams, too. I said, here you are, this PhD economist, you're a genius, you know all these different fields and all the ins and outs and all the math, and yet every time you're on the radio, all they want to do is talk about race. Doesn't that bother you? But in your case, you're just going to have to forgive me, because I think it is
it's
integral to your story. Yeah. Absolutely. So tell me how it is that you would reach out to people saying, I know it's conventional to say the Democratic Party, they're going to help us out. How do you get people to think maybe that's not worked out so well?
Well, what I've done is, and I found this definitely attacking, just not necessarily attacking, this is the wrong word to use, but approaching the talking points of leftists in general. It's more so kind of turning their own logic against them and turning those talking points. And again, just really extending them all the way to the actual conclusion. Yes, leftists and Democrats in particular, they have kind of this political monopoly on predominantly black communities. And you look at even some of the gripes of activist groups that I almost disagree with nearly 100%. But even on some issues, when they get it right, the conclusion is where they get it completely wrong. So I like to, you know, those talking points like Black Lives Matter. They talk about the, you know, systematic racism and, you know, racism within the judicial system and all of that. And, you know, I like to kind of, and I did an article on being libertarian about this and saying how if African-Americans, black folks just understood the history, they would adopt libertarianism almost immediately. Because even if you look at some of the gripes that they have, I mean, they stem from, you know, government intervention one way down the line. And I talked about since day one, the state had always been used to, if you want to talk about oppressing black people, the state was, you know, that I guess that kind of driving tool. You know, I mean, it was slave codes were implemented in Virginia almost immediately, you know, slave codes, black codes and all the Supreme Court cases, Plessy versus Ferguson and, you know, Dred Scott and all the you know, Jim Crow laws is always the state. And I always say racism without, you know, statism is just not as prominent as people would like to think. So I like to kind of mention that to those guys that I'm, you know, talking about reaching back. And I have had success in at least planting that seed and making them realize that the cause of your problems is the state, you know, and the political party and the political ideology that you tend to adopt leads to more statism. And yet you still have these problems. So, you know, maybe it's time to try something else.
Try something else, indeed. All right. Tell me about your group and tell me about the kind of music you make.
Well, backwards, we mix a lot of different elements. We got a lot of different cultural upbringings in this band. You know, we mix rap elements. I guess they kind of classify us as a metal band because we mix the rap elements, the metal elements. And so it's melodic, it's heavy. And we can have a song that pretty much is a borderline, you know, R&B song if we wanted to, a rap song. And then one is just heavy as it can get on the metal side. And we came together about a little over a year ago. And we'd all came from previously semi-successful bands, signed bands, and we had our minds made up that we're going to do something different and we're going to do something new, something fresh. And the other vocalist, Alex, him being a hardcore libertarian as well, it was kind of great to have him on the team. And we had our minds pretty much made up by the third song that what liberty is just really not represented in our subgenre or genres in general when we talk about music and entertainment. So we almost feel a sense of responsibility to get that information out there within our music. And Backwards was the first band that I've ever been musical project that I've ever been a part of that was a combination of everything that I am. You know, I was either one or the other, you know, a political commentator, or I'm a metal vocalist, or I'm a rapper. It's the first band in which I'm all of that. And it's nothing is kind of detached from who I am outside of the music. So it's great and it feels good. And I'm more comfortable as ever. And we've been doing a great job with definitely our recent single release with Statism. It's been doing a great job in getting that message out there. You got people hitting us up that aren't really knowledgeable on that. Why am I wearing black and yellow? What does that represent? And they're asking those questions after shows. And that's what it's all about for us is really we wanted to use something outside of the political arena in trying to spread liberty, because I think that's the one aspect that libertarianism we kind of lack is that culture and really trying to use that culture to really get that word out.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And of course, you're right about really almost any genre of music. I think of music that I like, I have to hold my nose when I'm listening to their, what they have to say about, you know, politics. I just, you know, just play the music. Right. I just don't want to know. I'd rather not know. So I want to remind people that it's spelled B-A-C-K-W-O-R-D-Z. All right. I've got some videos and stuff that you've done. So I see Statism and some of your other stuff. So talk about some of the not every song presumably has a libertarian theme,
right,
but yet it does seem like a regular recurring idea. So what are you conveying through the music?
Right. Yes. Not you're 100% correct. If you look at some definitely our earlier singles like Grindstone, it's not necessarily political, but it talks about, like, you know, kind of that capitalist mindset. And when we talk about utilizing your talents to, you know, get out there and go be great. And, you know, so we have those themes kind of reoccurring. The only two songs that we have that are really just, Utopias don't exist. We dropped that before Stadiums. That was kind of a jab. It wasn't really, it talked about, obviously had that libertarianism, that idea to it, but Stadism was just our first song. That's 100% like, I mean, in everything about it is pretty much libertarianism, 100%. So, my thing is that we want to make music that everybody can feel, you know, and you can take something from it no matter what it is, but we help make sure that the lyrics are a reflection of really who we are. And what we absolutely want to spread in hopes that, you know, people want to go learn more about this stuff. So granted, every song is not going to be just about libertarianism, but you will hear a plug here and there that at least I feel like we'll get that listener thinking about things aside from what they're normally looking to get out of a particular song. You know, that's been my biggest thing. It has to be a message. If I'm gonna write it, it has to be a message, and I hope the listener gets something from it aside from, all right, this is just really loud and heavy and you know, in your face.
I'm curious about what it's like being a musician in the internet age. And in fact, like, for example, I write a lot of books, and the trouble is there are a couple of 100,000 different books released every year, and how do you make yours stand out? Now, I have, thanks to the internet, a lot of different channels and free and paid traffic to get the word out, but at the same time, the competition is really fierce. So I have great tools, but I also have many, many, many competitors. Same must be true for music. So what are you guys doing are you finding that on balance, the internet is a real help for you?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, depends on which way you want to approach it, because internet has absolutely kind of changed the economics. I did a video about this, the economics of actually being in a band, and which is why we do. And this is kind of on a side note. I don't want to go too much into it unless it's an actual question about it. But the economics of being in a band has kind of changed with the internet age. But as far as getting that information out there, it is a very useful tool for guys like us who are very skeptical. We've been down that road of dealing with labels and stuff like that. So it's so much that you can do in spreading it. But it's a kind of a catch, because then you have to kind of figure out, how do you make this actually lucrative if it's something that you want to be able to do full time, which with us it's a little different, because we have so much to offer aside from just the music itself. And you know, we talk about the message and stuff like that, and we're always doing talks and stuff in which we can get our message out there, and it's also kind of monetize it. But it's I can understand why a lot of bands, definitely in the subgenres that we kind of middle in, they're not really able to do that. So again, it's tough, but we stick out like a sore thumb because of our message. It's so different from the other bands, as well as just the personnel that we have. I mean, you're talking about like myself, and I'm not any kind of you know, I don't hide it at all or try to not speak about it. You know, with me being a black person that's fronting a metal band, that in itself makes people like, oh, I want to look into it, because this is something unconventional. This is something unorthodox. It's different, you know. So, again, I'll use that to our advantage. And they get something. They expect some of that, you know, obviously that rap element, if you want to be cliche about it. But we also offer other different elements that they see from me that they normally wouldn't see from hell a band, yet alone a black person that's actually fronting it. So it's all about doing things. We're doing what everybody isn't doing, and that's how we stick out.
Oh, tell me where you guys are based.
We're based out of Texas. We're everywhere. I'm in Dallas, but we have members in San Antonio, as well as Corpus Christi.
I have a friend who's in a band in Colorado Springs, and at first, they thought, because of the internet, we can immediately build a national audience. And so they started doing press releases and using every single, you know, mechanism at their disposal. And they found that what they were doing was spreading themselves too thin. Then they focused on making themselves a regional band or a Colorado Springs band, throwing all their resources into that, and then building out outward from there? What's been your strategy?
A little bit of both. I mean, we've started to get like the demand for us to be on the road because of the music, and because, again, the internet has allowed us to really get that out there with YouTube, getting all the, we're all about visuals. So, which is why with pretty much every song that we've ever released, even a cover, we have a music video for it. But we also were more, as far as shows and actually performing, we do focus more on our region. I feel like, and this is kind of what I've experienced and in the kind of the rap genre, is that if you can get like a type of like bass that'll hold you down in your area, you can do a lot more when branching out, you know, because you'll still have that base is still there. So, which is why we do shows around like San Antonio and Austin a lot, because we want to make that link. And honestly, a lot of our guys are from there. So it's, again, you have to be strategic with it, because, again, the economics of it, a lot of people think that they got to go on a road immediately. And they end up in a lot of debt and end up broke, even if they're signed. So, and that's just something that we're not going to do.
What stage are you in right now? Are you doing shows? Are you writing? Are you doing both?
Right now we aren't doing. We had our last show about a month ago, only because we're writing our debut album, and we're gonna have some news about that possibly soon. Because it's a lot going on with that in the background. But we are writing. I'll be in Houston tomorrow, actually, going out there to kind of do some tracking and stuff like that. So. Album debut is called Veracity. We're hoping to get it out by maybe end of the summer, hopefully. How that'll get released, again, that's just some big news that we'll have going forward. And we're just kind of working out the kinks, but it's a lot going on in the background. And we thank everybody for the support, because we've really been able to do what bands that are signed to a lot of these labels aren't even able to do. And we've done it all independent through ourselves. And it's a really, 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 really good feeling to be able to do that. And I'm encouraging other artists to do that, because they go sell their soul. And I don't mean necessarily selling their soul and making like music that doesn't represent them, but they sell their souls to labels. And it really causes them to get in debt, but they feel like they have to do it. And I've made a very long video about kind of how it's almost you know, economics of being in a band is no different from economics in any other market. And it certainly is something interesting.
All right. One more politics question, then I'll let you run. And then I want you to tell us how we can find out about your band and what you're up to. But the last politics question is, what if somebody comes up to you and says, look, you know, it's easy for you to sit there and criticize the federal government, but the fact is the federal government has done a lot of things for the black community. I mean, it's, you know, whether it's civil rights protections or affirmative action or, look, educational opportunities, all these wonderful things. And if we listen to you, you know, we'd all be earning 10 cents an hour and suffering, you know, from the man and whatever. How do you answer
well,
that?
Well, I would say that, you're not supposed to, or I don't at least, give the federal government credit for trying to basically overturn issues that they caused and endorsed, like the racism in this country. But that's largely false is what the route that I like to take it when they talk about we wouldn't be making anything. Because, again, you look at some, I mentioned, you know, Dred Scott and, Plessy vs. Ferguson and how and those, you know, like Dred Scott and all that, how there were people in the South that wanted to, they didn't want to do the whole segregation thing because, again, it was costly, you know, and here you have the state basically saying that, hey, you must have separate boxcars on a railroad or whatever of that nature. So, again, when we talk about protection, I think that's more of it's more of a gimmick that has been used by a lot of politicians to say, look, and we did something. And it's all it is just legitimizing the state, because if you go back far enough, you'll see how the state actually caused the problem. And a lot of what we learned in like these, public schools, I know what I learned is largely false, because it wasn't until I started doing more research when I learned about how there were so many different cases in which you had white business owners wanting to, you know, sell to black folks, and not wanting to do the whole segregation thing because it cost them more to do it, because being racist is really, really expensive in that regard. But then again, you had, state, mandated laws in which said they had to do that. And if we're going to have an honest conversation about, you know, what the state has done and what they could do, we have to kind of consider that and the precedents that they set.
All right, tell me how people can find out about Backwoods and about you.
Well, I am pretty much everywhere. Eric D. July is usually the handle. Eric July Texas, TX, excuse me, on Facebook. You can find me there. The band Backwoods Music, B-A-C-K-W-O-R-D-Z Music. That's the handle for just about everything. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter as well. And if you want to get our music, you can watch our YouTubes, in which we have a lot of music videos, but you can get our music just on about every single medium that you can think of, iTunes, Spotify, Tidal, pretty much everything. You can find us, just look us up.
All right, we'll do that. I'm going to link to everything I can. Certainly the social media stuff, I'll try and get a video or two up, all at tomwoods.com/683, our page for this episode. Best of luck with everything, Eric, especially with the new album, and great talking to you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot for having me on.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it. Remember, next week, boy, do we have some fun stuff coming up. I got some juicy episodes scheduled for you. We've got that roundtable discussion about the Libertarian Party. And we're going to have maybe two people on a side. We're not really going to be debating, but we've got people of different perspectives on that. We're going to be having the debate between Bob Murphy and Vox Day on free trade, which is going to be great. The 10th Amendment Center celebrates its 10-year anniversary. That is absolutely fantastic. And I think that's an interesting, if I may use this term, meta story. Not so much about the 10th Amendment, that is to say, but about what it's like running an organization like that. What are the ups and downs? How do you get started? What do you learn after 10 years doing this sort of thing? What are your successes and failures? That's going to be a lot of fun, because remember, Michael Bolden, the executive director of the 10th Amendment Center, was the guest on episode number one of this show. I chose him for episode number one. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Great, great stuff coming up. And over the weekend, take some time to consider seriously joining Bob Murphy and me for the vacation of a lifetime on the Contra Cruise. Find out more about it at ContraCruise.com. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.